Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you enjoy our live stream, Brown John? If so, there's another one coming up on the 22nd of April.
If you didn't see it because you were busy or just an idiot, then you should check it out because the reviews we got for the first one were sensational.
Find out more about it on our Twitter, and also you can get your tickets. What's our website called again?
TFTimeMachine.com.
Yeah, tickets links, are available
the
there.
The links will be up there, yeah.
22nd of April, 7 p.m. Loads of great stuff. Get involved.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
It's another one of these episodes that we've pre-recorded before the Easter holidays that we've taken. You could call them contractual obligations if you like, but we don't have any contracts. We pod by our own rules.
Can you imagine a day? Have you ever contemplated a cunter trying to sue us? Like an IFS trying to sue us because of like the quality or the quantity of our content declining?
Good luck with that. Yeah, I can imagine them trying.
No, I know why they'd do it, not just for the money. If there's someone got all Lampard, he said, well, actually, you've delivered 3 episodes under the half-hour standard, right? They'd do it partly because they know that we'd fucking defend ourselves in court and they'd want to see that.
Vigorously.
That for them is free content, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
But it won't be free because you'll have to pay your own legal costs because you will lose.
You will lose and we'll also get more content out of it.
Yeah.
So therefore, we win double.
So our message to you is, sue away. Right. Obviously, when this goes out, I hopefully, as we said on the previous episode, will be in the Isle of Wight, suing myself. Suing myself would be a mad thing to do. Absolutely insane. I've heard it's been done, but really, why?
Everything's content. You want to do it?
I've decided to sue myself because of my disappointing performance as a man. I've really let myself down in life. I had high hopes. When I was very young, when I was about 16, I quite legitimately sort of resolved that I would one day be Prime Minister. I was dead serious. I was like, yeah, I'll probably be Prime Minister.
Yeah, why not? You should have dreams like that.
And then, you know, I did briefly work in politics and I had a pipe around, you know, what was going down.
The nether regions of it all.
Yeah, and spent some time in, working in Parliament. And I still thought, what I thought was, this is quite boring and there's quite a lot of cunts, but I reckon I could still be Prime Minister.
I could pull this off.
Because I thought to myself, I fucking game this. I was about 19. Yeah. I thought, I fucking game this system. I can see what their fucking game is. I'll fucking come in. I'll life hack it as soon as I'm out of uni.
Yeah.
But then got involved in Ladmax, didn't I? More of a laugh.
Do you not still harbour those desires?
No, it'd be awful, wouldn't it? I wouldn't even want to be an MP. We talked about this years ago. When we started doing this podcast, we talked about it, I remember. Would we go into politics? But it would be like, it's like hell.
Well, I think we could be prime ministers, but we could be like joint prime ministers, like Gerard Houllier and Roy Evans at Liverpool. Yeah. It would be like that, and we'd have each other's back.
No, I like the joint managers who won the FA Cup for Coventry, John Sillett, and I can't remember the other one.
Well, there you go. That just says it all, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That you can only remember one of them.
Yeah, great
wasn't
joint
John
managers.
Sillett? Wasn't John Sillett the fella who did the bring your dinner thing?
He's got a similar name.
Oh yeah, John Sillett. John Sillett had a brother called Peter Sillett. John Sillett was manager of Coventry.
Let's see.
George Curtis, who no one remembers.
George Curtis, John Sillett. They were a double act, I think. And I tell you, another double act, which a lot of people forget.
They're not double act, because no one remembers George Curtis.
Yeah. All right, here's one that people forget. When Alan Kirbishley was first manager of Charlton, he was a joint manager.
He was, yeah.
But who was the other bastard?
Oh, fucking hell. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Steve Gritt.
Steve Gritt,
of
course.
Now, that is a man you'd want by your side. Steve Gritt.
Yeah, Gritt in your corner. Yeah.
Mr. Gritt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it used to be more of a thing, didn't it? You don't get it anymore. I mean, some people used to say that, what's his name, Brian Clough's right-hand man, used to, like, my dad will still sort of go, oh, yeah, when those two ran Forest and Derby.
Yeah.
They were thought of at the time as sort of like more or less joint managers.
It was a double act, yeah, and they fell out, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
They fell out because Peter Taylor left Forest and said he was going to retire, and then 3 months later rocked up as the new Derby manager. Clough was quite huffed by this.
Ah, oh, yeah, that's out of order, isn't it?
Fucked him over, yeah.
He'd had too much of living in Clough's shadow.
I think so, yeah. He might have intended to retire, but then when the Derby job came up three months later, or whatever it was, he didn't hang about, got stuck in.
Sticking to your word is an overrated quality.
Things are fluid. Situations are fluid.
Situations
change.
And you're almost stupid if you go, well, I'm going to stick by this because it's what I once said I'd do.
Yeah.
That's no way to live your life.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, someone once said, if you're the same person at 50 that you were at 20, you failed in life. Do you know what I mean? Things change. We all change. Yeah. We all have different needs and wants.
Something that might... Situations change, so something that might seem for the best now might be completely different tomorrow. So what I'm saying is, I can't remember whether we were talking about Alan Kirbishley and Steve Gritt there. Oh, no, we were talking about Peter Taylor. Peter Taylor, I know you're dead, but we know that a lot of ghosts do listen to the show and we can understand your point of view.
Yeah, totally. And Brian Clough, if you're also listening in, we're a big fan as well.
Yeah, big fans of you both. Well done, lads, and thanks for listening. Subscribe on IFS. You just go to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine and you can subscribe to any tier. Joey Howarth has been in touch about the Isle of Wight, because we were talking about the Isle of Wight, obviously, as we do most episodes. And he says, level 42, Isle of Wight. Just listen to your first Top Flight Tune Machine. I'm IFS, just catching up to present day, in which you mentioned level 42 being the music you play before the live show from Sam's favourite holiday rig of the Isle of Wight. Useless fact, but that's what it's all about. Resident Isle of Wight cunter, Joey Howarth. Mate, and then he's actually done a screen grab of level 42's Wikipedia page confirming that they were from the Isle of Wight. I'm not being funny, Joey. We were actually thinking of introducing a new rule to the podcast, which is do not explain things to us. Not because we think we know it all, just because we sort of don't care. We're both quite old now, and we're way beyond being told things. If we were interested in learning things, we wouldn't be sat around doing this podcast, would we? Think of it that way. Now, if we didn't know that level 42, sometimes I call them the level 42, were from the Isle of Wight, then,
we wouldn't be fans.
What would be the point of us even existing? Think of it this way.
Yeah.
I love the two... What are the two things that I'm known for loving? Isle of Wight and level 42.
And level 42,
How would it have escaped my attention that level 42 were from the Isle of Wight? And he's screen-grabbed the Wikipedia page, mate.
I mean, I don't know, do we need to bleep Joey's name out here because we've publicly shamed him? This could have a massive effect on him.
I tell you, Joey signed his name. If you don't want it, he signed it. Joey Howarth. He put in his surname. Oh, I didn't know that you would say my name. If you want to be anonymous, here's an idea. Don't email a gobshite podcast like this one, right?
Yeah.
And I tell you this, Joey, if you think that we're having a cream tea next time I'm on the island, then think again, because you've annoyed me.
I'm going to answer the door, because I think the doorbell's ringing. Okay. You keep going, Sam.
Anyway, no, look, Joey, I'm only mucking about with you. It's nice for you to get in touch, and obviously I'm always happy to hear from an islander. I've got the utmost respect for your community. But all I can say is I'm being a bit over the top as usual, but I do think that, you know, listen, all I'll say is I know that Love 42 are from the fucking Isle of Wight. Of course I bloody do. Right, let's see if I've got some other emails to read out to you here. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing, Joey Howarth. Sorry to keep going on, but you sent that email, Level 42 Isle of Wight, 3 times in a row. The same email 3 times in a row, just in case I missed it. Come on, man. Of course I bloody know they're from the Isle of Wight. Ridiculous. here's one from a guy called Fred. He says, when I was much younger, I would buy my herbal relaxatives from a boy in blue. I think he means he bought his weed from a policeman. First time I met him, there was this tool belt laying on the coffee table, complete with a loaded 38 revolver. Loaded with blanks, question mark? I don't know. It might have been a test to see what his customers were like. He asked me, what are you after? Pot, speed, smack, LSD? He had the lot. A quarter of green, thanks, I said. He had the top quality at great prices. A week later, he gave me a speeding ticket. Fair cop, he was at work now. 3 months later, he disappeared. Bummer, best dealer I ever met. Cheers, Fred. Good dealer story. I can't believe he fucking gave you a speeding ticket. That's so out of order.
What a cunt.
His dealer was old Bill, and he knew he had a gun, and he knew that he dealt in heroin, not just weed.
Yeah.
And he's still like, sorry, mate, you're a couple of miles over the limit there. You're getting a ticket.
Well, he's probably done that to someone else who's then probably grassed him up. That's why he disappeared 3 months later.
Yeah, I thought someone's had him killed.
I don't know.
And also, I'd be like, mate, that, if you're going to, what's that, a speeding ticket? I don't know how much it is. So you might have to pay 60 quid, right? Think of that. That's 60 quid I could be putting in your fucking pocket for weed.
Yeah.
Now I can't. Yeah. No. Nice one. Now I can't buy weed for a month, dickhead. Think it through.
Yeah, he hasn't thought that one through at all, has he? Yeah, I did answer the door there. It was a parcel, but it was for next door. It wasn't even one for me. Which is weird because we've got a Life Logistics about parcel delivery, but we'll see because we're going to do a Life Logistics episode as well in the very near future. So I can't talk about that, but that will be coming up. Where are we? Here's a one. That feels like a Life Logistics as well, so I better not do that one. It's about tattoos. There's a one. Right, this is from Louis Whitehead. This is read out my name if you like. I just did.
Very fucking well, mate.
And we'll see. We'll see what you've got to say, and we'll see what we think about it. He says, been catching up on all the old episodes and picked up this topic. I'll keep it brief. Very well observed. Good. Thank you very much. Tried out for my college football team aged 17. Never been a great footballer, but I started the trial game up front as the 6'6" target man. 75 minutes gone, had a few good touches but no goal until I rose above everyone at a corner and knocked it in with my head for a match-winning goal. Cue celebration of taking my shirt off and belly sliding. It was glorious. A week later, the teams went up, no call-up to the first, second or third team and no explanation why.
Fucking hell.
He says, I'm thinking my moves put the bastard off. But he's played in a trial game. He's
some Lampardy manager is like, oh no, I don't like to see that. No. I don't know. Yeah, exactly. The bloke's not got the right attitude. That sort of thing.
That's probably what it was, yeah. I mean, someone like that, even if he wasn't any good, if he'd laboured up front for 75 minutes and then scored, you'd still have him.
Yeah, I mean, a beanpole.
On one of those teams, wouldn't you?
A beanpole, 6'6" he is, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have him on the bench at the very least.
Bring
because
him on,
if you were goal down, you'd send him on for corners and stuff, wouldn't you?
Of course you
because,
would.
Because I tell you, the thing, a man of that size, do you know what? Even if he doesn't get the goal, do you know what he does, Andy, at dead ball situations? He panics defenders. He causes chaos in the box, right? And that's when defenders make mistakes. They get confused.
Yeah.
Andy Carroll. The amount of goals he created without touching the ball, just by being a bit of a cunt in the area. He'd run around, he'd push people
he'd
about.
Score them
fucking
himself,
love Andy Carroll.
Obviously, but he made space for other players to score the goals.
Yeah, because once he was on the pitch, defenders, especially if you brought him on a sub, And all the way through, like, the defenders would have been working to a particular shape and a pattern. They all knew what their job was and they were solid. But when you bring Andy Carroll on, everything went out the window and they'd shit themselves.
It's like throwing a fucking grenade into things,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it Geordie his way into the area. Why, aye, dickheads! And the big Andy's here. And they're like, ah!
Jalapeño.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
Did you see the Jack Charlton documentary?
No, but so many people have been praising it, yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It'll be on iPlayer now. I mean, this was, we're putting this out a couple of weeks after it was on, I think, but it'll be on iPlayer. And there was a great bit quite early on where he said, I don't trust centre-backs who try to play football. Centre-back's job is to stop other people from playing football.
Yeah.
And this I love that because this ties in with my current love-hate thing about football, which is this playing out from the back shit.
Stupid, yeah.
There's nothing more hilarious than seeing a team give a goal away because they've been fannying about in their own penalty area or trying to play
best
out from
example
the back.
All season is definitely Burnley's goal against Tottenham, wasn't it? Where, yeah. It was Arsenal, wasn't it? It was Arsenal. And Xhaka tried to, weirdly, whilst facing his own goal, cross the ball across his own area without looking. And it just bounced straight off the centre-forward's head and into the goal.
Oh, but it's not just the goal they give away. It's when they give away a possession. They'll give away a throw-in, just on the edge of their own area, just from being unable to play football. This whole thing, the fucking defenders should be able to play football, is bullshit and nonsense.
Fucking stupid.
And it's infested the game. But the thing is as well, I'm sure that the stats nerds realise that it creates more goals probably than they can see.
Yeah, I'm sure
they've
does.
Run the numbers. I mean,
it's basically an offensive strategy, isn't it? Rather than it's like if we draw the other team in,
bring on the
press. I think that's
why
they
go through them. I think that's
what it
is.
Yeah, and then go
through them.
But it's a big fucking gamble because
it obviously works because they do it.
Yeah.
But then the other side,
maybe they like it because it makes them look good to like all the tarty hipsters that follow
that's
the game now, and it gets you the next job. Because you get these silly managers, like you used to always say that what's his name, knew approved right, was a fraud at Everton, the one who was at Watford and then went to Everton.
I've forgotten his name. Marco
Marco Silva,
Silver?
Was it? Yeah. A lot of people say you hounded him out of the game. Because
when
he was riding high, you labelled him a fraud, and then it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. and now he's retired from public life. Right.
Well, I mean, I just give my opinion. That's all I do.
Well,
that's all I can do.
He had it coming. Right.
But it should have been a fraud.
You look at people like him, right? I think he was let go by Watford, but then got the job at Everton. Look at Andre Villas-Boas, right? Who failed at Chelsea and then failed at Tottenham, right?
Mm-hmm.
And various other ones. If you're a little bit trendy, then you'll get a job even if your results aren't adequate. Right? You'll get a certain amount of jobs. You'll get a few more chances before you eventually have to retire from public life. All this high press. That's what all this playing out from the back bollocks is about. David Moyes doesn't have his teams play out from the back. Mate, we've got fucking Craig Dawson at the back. You don't see him dicking around. He will win the fucking ball and then hoof it up the field.
Exactly.
And he's the best English defender in the country. We call him Virgil van Dawson.
The latest cult manager, of course, is Graham Potter at Brighton.
Yeah.
Who I've had a thing against for a while now. But it's getting worse and worse because he's now regarded as one of the best managers because of his stats.
Yeah, but he will get a job and it will be somewhere like Everton. He's like got Everton written all over him. right? They always tend to go for, like, they've got a long track record of going for who the trendy manager is, right, at the time. And someone like Everton, or hopefully, fingers crossed, Tottenham, will hire him. And then he will be exposed as a fraud.
Do you think that Ancelotti will get a better job somewhere and that'll leave the Everton one open for...
Ancelotti kind of looks bored. He wishes he wishes he was still sat in a lovely piazza in Milan sipping an espresso.
Yeah, if an Italian job comes
and
up,
reading
the
Gazzetta dello Sport. And instead, no offence to Liverpool, great city, but what I'm saying is, it's what you're used to. And Ancelotti is used to a very different sort of... You know, if Inter Milan or AC Milan fancied him, like, tomorrow, or Juve, any of those clubs, he'd do it, wouldn't he? Or...
Of course he would.
I reckon he's probably got half an eye by now on the Italian national job. Seems a right fit for him, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, Everton will get Graham Potter and they will subsequently get embroiled in a terrible relegation battle. Because then, Everton is too big a club with too much of a huge, passionate sort of fan base for him to possibly get his fucking nut around having been at Brighton, right? And it's a whole different fucking atmosphere. That's what happens. These managers go and it's like, you've got to manage this huge fucking club, mate. This is a monster of a club. You've come from fucking Brighton, right?
But this the crowd aren't going to let you... experiment.
Yeah, like the crowd aren't going to let you experiment with your mad tactics and lose 10 games on the trot. You will get blown away by a scouse wind, my friend.
And then Everton will have to bring in whoever the equivalent of Sam Allardyce is.
Exactly.
In 2 years' time.
That's it. It's a cycle.
Because retired by then.
Well, remember, we used to say about Everton, they used to have a mechanism, and then sometimes they'd reverse it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, of course.
They reversed it in the case mechanism. Of Moyes, but we were going right back. That was when we first talked like Time Machine, and we were still doing the kind of nostalgia episodes about old seasons. And it was the way that Everton, they had Joe Royal, they had Mike Walker, then they got David Moyes. And every time it was a manager who'd done well in the Championship or a much smaller club. And that was their mechanism.
It was. We'll see. We've laid it out there now. Let's see if our predictions come true.
That's our prediction. Ancelotti's going to go back to Italy. Potter will take over at Everton. Potter will fail within season at Everton. And then maybe Sam Allardyce himself, or the equivalent, will basically...
The equivalent is.
Yeah.
In the future.
Moyes will probably go back there.
He might do, you never know. Here's a one from Stephen Wilson. He says, love the tyre chat from our recent MOT... episodes. Here's an interesting fact that's kind of Lampard. Okay. Do you know who the largest tyre manufacturer in the world is, Sam?
Ah, great question. I don't, but I'll have a guess. Oh, so obviously it's a trick question. So it's not only Pirelli. I reckon, do you know what? I reckon it's, I heard this once. Is it ASICS, the running shoe company?
No, it is not.
Okay. Because they did originally make their shoes out of tyres.
Out of all tyres, that's good to know. No, it's actually Lego.
The fucking cunts, they get into everything,
fucking
don't they?
Fucking Lego. But it's the little Lego tyres that you get.
Oh, I Lego thought cars. You meant they were
it's
making...
It's not actual tyres. It's not car tyres.
Oh. But tiny Lego tyres. Because Lego are busy bastards, aren't they? They can't just be content with just doing some Lego.
And you've got to be careful what you say as well.
We're doing
you've
books,
be careful
we're doing
what
cafes.
You say. Be careful. What, they'll sue you? Because they're fucking lawyers. Oh.
Really?
Come down on you like a ton of bricks. Don't know, I've made that up.
Do a lot of people try to spread rumours about what's really going on at Lego HQ in Copenhagen?
Well, a lot of people are clever enough not to spread rumours about what's going on
you're
at
right,
Lego
right,
HQ.
We've already said too much.
Yeah, exactly. That gets me on to thinking, I could give you a piece of information, Sam, which might ruin lots of TV shows and films for you in the future. Would you like that information? Do you want to open that Pandora's box or do you want me to remain silent?
Well, I'm tantalised now. Once I'm tantalised, you know me, I struggle to sort of shut down the urges. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to give it to me.
You might already know this. My son told us it when we were watching early episodes of Line of Duty. You might know this. Apple refused to give permission for iPhones to be used in TV shows and films by baddies.
Oh, that's really good.
That might well, You might, anyone that's listening to this now, you might want to disregard this. Stop listening to this episode. Forget I just said that, because it might ruin things for you in the future. But if you ever see someone using an iPhone in a TV show or film, they are not a baddie. They're not going to turn. They're not going to become
bad. That does ruin
bad.
Things, doesn't it? So, like, if you're watching James Bond, sometimes often a goodie turns into a baddie.
Yeah.
But if you've seen them with an iPhone, no way. But one thing is, I don't understand how they have control over that, because iPhones are the public domain. It's like saying, you know, you could wear a pair of fucking trousers. Do you have to ask the trouser manufacturer, can I wear these in this film?
The Apple lawyers are clearly even more powerful than the Lego lawyers. So if you see a character in a TV show or film and they're not using an iPhone, chances are, if they're not already bad, they're going to turn bad later on. So if you've got suspicions about them in the film and you're thinking,
he's got a Samsung.
Is he dodgy? What's he involved in? And he gets a fucking Android phone out. Yeah, bad guy.
Well, you know, Agatha Christie films, which I went for a phase of with the kids last year. We watched a load of them. It fucking absolutely ruined them when they do the modern day ones with Kenneth Branagh. You know, someone's got a fucking Samsung. That's it. They're the killer.
That's it. Bad guy. Yeah.
Samsung Galaxy, mate.
I mean, I think the TV and film industry should rise up and never use iPhones.
Yeah, fuck them.
To say fuck them to Apple, but also to keep everyone guessing throughout the films. But there you go.
When I was in my first job on a magazine, I had to, in the days before digital photography, you had to call up anyone who you were doing review, you had to call up agencies or companies for photos in slide form that were sent in the post, you know, transparencies. And it was Men's Health. And actually, in a foreshadowing of what I would eventually go on to do, i.e. this podcast talking about the comfort market, I remember one of the first jobs I had to do was write a small review section of mattresses. And I had to get, but it was a bullshit review because I didn't lie on them. I think I just interviewed some sort of mattress expert, asked them what the three best mattresses were. Then I had to call the mattress companies, right, and say, I'm calling from Men's Health magazine. I need you to send me a, you'd speak to the press office who was set up for this sort of thing, and go, can you send me some transparencies of this mattress? We will be reviewing it in next month's issue. Now, this was something that was just everyday stuff. You call all sorts of companies and their press department would always have relevant transparencies and they'd just say, fine, and they'd send it to the address, right? This was a match. I'll always remember this. We're talking about 1997 or 98 here, right?
Yeah.
Because it was one of the biggest Lampards I ever encountered. She's gone, I'm sorry, who are you? And at the time, I couldn't say I was Britain's best journalist because, to be fair, I wasn't yet. I was just on the way up. So I just said, I'm Sandley, I'm calling from Men's Health magazine. I need a picture of this mattress that you make. Why? Well, we're reviewing it. Where? Well, in the magazine, I just told you. Who gave you permission for this?
Oh, to review the mattress? I
went, to review a mattress?
Fucking hell.
No one gave permission. They said, well, I'm afraid it's our mattress and you need to receive permission before you start writing about it in your magazine. And there was a long pause. I was quite young, so it was like they could have bluffed me, but I left a long pause and I went, no, I don't. And they went, what? And they lost it at me. What did you say? And I went, no, we don't.
Give me your name.
Yeah, it was like that. And I went, we don't need any. We review it. Well, what? How do we know you're not going to write something bad about it? And I said, well, that's just reviewing, isn't it? And they said, well, why should we send you an image then if we don't know whether you're going to write something? I said, so you'll only send us a picture if you know that the review is good. Well, even then we might not, because we have carefully strategised and planned our press campaigns. And this has come, and they were literally like, this has come completely out of the blue. It's we were given no warning, right?
Mattress reviews?
Yeah, I've never heard of anything so daft in my life. Yeah, well, what's your space?
People don't review mattresses.
Write my fucking name down, because in a few years from now, I'll be doing a fucking podcast all about it. And if you're still in the mattress industry by then, which I doubt, because your attitude stinks, right? You will fucking bow to me.
Where are they now?
Exactly. I bid you good day, sir. Bang! Phone down. And that is why I made it my life's ambition to become a mattress reviewing king.
I will review your mattress, and where the picture should go, I will put a black square. And I will mention that you didn't authorise a photograph.
Another funny thing that happened with letters that came in the old days of that. We haven't got time.
We don't have time on this episode. We'll do it at the beginning of the next one, Sam. But it's to do with letters. So the next one will be along in a few days. So fucking get involved with that. Goodbye and sleep tight.
I hope the bed bugs don't bite.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.